Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps the truth forever, who does not forsake the works of his hands. Amen. Grace, peace, mercy, and comfort be unto you from God the Father and of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's continue by singing Psalter 210. Psalter 210, the stanzas 1 and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. And what follows, 210, stanzas 1 and 5. We open our Bibles in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and we will listen to God's holy law. And after the law, we will answer by singing Psalter 331, the third stanza. 331, the third stanza after God's holy law.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day it is Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
Let's turn to the New Testament, and we will read from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, the verses 1 till 11, and a letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians chapter 6, the verses 10 till 20. The first scripture reading is Matthew 4, the verses 1 till 11, and the next is from Ephesians chapter 6, the verses 10 till 20. And the Word of God comes to us as follows.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil take them up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So far the scripture reading out of God's word.
Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let's pray. O precious Lord, dear Father in heaven, we come to Thee as a congregation on this Lord's Day, gathered together to worship Thee, to listen what Thou hast to say unto us. O Lord, and therefore this is such a mighty place to be. It's the place where Thou art speaking, where Thou art revealing Thyself for a lost sinner. O Lord, and we pray, may Thee be precious for every one of us, for our children. O Lord, that in their childhood they may put their hope into Thee. And grant the parents, Lord, in raising their children, their wisdom and Thy Holy Spirit to teach the children in that way who Thou art. Yes, Thou art a righteous God. Thou can't accept sin, never. Oh, but Thou art also a merciful God and ready to forgive. Oh, Lord, we pray, grant the parents to teach their children in those truths of the Scripture. And although Lord, our upbringing is always with so many failures. Be thou our teacher and open the hearts of our children and of our youth for thee. O Lord, but may thou also be precious for the whole congregation. O Lord, the more we listen to sermons and the more we are attending church services and the more we get more knowledge, had knowledge. But when it is without humility, without a broken heart, and when it is without heart knowledge, oh Lord, then it is only hardening our hearts, and then we have always a wrong image of thee. Oh Lord, although we believe we know the truth. But oh, we pray, open our eyes this morning to see when it is the case. Show us, Lord, who we are, who we really are. Behind all the outwardly faces we can have, Lord, but show us the deepest reality, the deepest corners of our hearts, to humble ourselves and that we might believe who we really are, that's a lost sinner. But, oh Lord, also, please, that thee may be precious for such a soul this morning. For the first time, maybe, Lord. Oh, that thy grace and that thy love may overcome all their impossibilities, the hardening of their hearts, oh Lord. And we are not able to do, but thou art able to do, and thou art willing to do, thou art ready to do. Oh Lord, grant us to see. And use the preaching of the word for that purpose, Lord. We pray for thy people. Oh, in the warfare of their lives, thou knowest, Lord, how it was in the past week. Oh, thou knowest the longings of their hearts. If there were the moments of communion with thee in prayer, in meditating about thy word. Oh, we are thankful for that, Lord. Thou art sustaining thy church in the midst of the battle. Thou knowest also, Lord, all their failures and all their sins and their darkness. Oh, Lord, grant them this morning to look unto thee, O Lord Jesus, who in the midst of the most difficult temptation of Satan withstood him as their mediator. Oh Lord, be with us in listening. Help us. Lord, keep us from wandering thoughts. Grant us thy Holy Spirit in listening. Open our hearts to receive thy word, to receive the message of the gospel. Grant us the anointing of the Spirit, Lord, in preaching thy word. That's what we need. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Otherwise, we can have all kind of words and maybe sound doctrine and all those things, Lord. But if thou art not in our midst, it's empty. And so we pray for the glory and honor of thy name. Be thou in our midst and take care for thy own honor, Lord. We can't honor thee by ourselves. Thou knowest who we are also as a pastor, Lord. We put ourselves in the center of all the attention. But when thou art coming, Lord, in place thou hast promised it, then we may see thee in thy glory, in thy wonderful love for sinners, in thy reality. Lord, we pray for the congregation. Thou knowest every one of us. And we pray, Lord, to remember in particular the Visser family when they lost an old grandfather, Goede Geburen from the Netherlands, who passed away last week. Oh Lord, thou knowest what it means also in their lives and all the rememberings will come back, Lord. The memories will come back about what happens in the past, the loss of other loved ones. Oh Lord, we pray, strengthen them and help them and encourage them, Lord. We pray, be with everyone in the congregation who lost loved ones, maybe a long time ago, but still, Lord, the empty places are present, and thou knowest how feelings of homesick can fill their hearts and thoughts, Lord. Strengthen them and uphold them. We pray, Lord, for every one of us who is sick and afflicted, not able to come to church. We pray in particular, Lord, for Mr. Henry Clean. Oh, when his circumstances are so difficult, and when he becomes more and more weak, oh Lord, we pray, prepare him to meet thee. Oh Lord, thou knowest what's in his heart and in his mind. Oh Lord, open his eyes for the first time or by renewal to see that in thee, O Lord Jesus, is all what he needs. And thou art ready to give. Oh, please, Lord, open his eyes that he may have peace with thee. Remember him, O Lord, with his wife Dorothy and his family. We also pray, Lord, for Jason van Landerseel. Be with him in the battle of his life. Thou knowest, Lord, how lonely he can feel in the midst of this warfare. And how difficult it is to help. Oh, remember him, Lord. What's impossible for man, it's not impossible for thee. May we pray, Lord, destroy the works of Satan, please. Lord, remember every one of us in all our circumstances. We pray. Be with us in the furtherance of this morning. Help us, we pray again, in listening, in preaching. Oh, precious, precious Savior. We ask it only in thy name. Amen. Let us sing together Psalm 20. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 20, all three stanzas. Dear congregation, the last two Lord's days we have spoken with you about chapter 4 of the Gospel of Matthew, the temptation of the Lord Jesus. We have seen what these temptations are, and we have seen how the Lord Jesus, all those temptations answered. And this morning, I would like to draw several lines to our personal lives from this story in the life of Jesus. Because, as we have seen, the Lord Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, it was not for his own sake. Let us never forget, when you read the gospel, that in everything the Lord Jesus is doing, he is acting as our mediator. He is not doing all those things for himself, but for his church, between God and between God's people. And so we have seen how the Lord Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan as our mediator, and how he started his ministry amongst Israel. And right from the beginning, as the second Adam, he was, as we have, and you can, we can find it in the Bible, in Matthew 4, verse 1, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was guided. He was brought by God the Father himself, led by the Spirit into the wilderness, led by the Spirit to be tempted as our mediator. And so, when Jesus was tempted, and that's the first thought, I would like to answer several questions this morning, and as we already did in the last two Lord's days, the first question is, who was tempted? The person was tempted, and we have seen Jesus was tempted, and we have seen how Jesus was tempted as the second Adam. We have seen it was a real temptation for Jesus. No, he was not tempted from the outside. From the inside, he was tempted by the outside, by Satan. Oh, the sinless one was tempted to sin. The second Adam, instead of the first Adam. And children, we know the story from Adam in paradise. He also stood at the beginning of his, you can say, his ministry as the head of the covenant of the human race. And he failed. Although he was able to resist. You never to forget it. Adam was able to resist the devil, to resist sin, to maintain his holiness. He was able to do. He was innocent. He had not any experience with evil. He had not any experience with the devil. He was also not hungry like Jesus was. He was not alone. He was created in communion with Eve. They had all kind of food. Adam. And Satan came with his temptations, and he fell. And when we draw the lines to our lives this morning, we are not Jesus. We are not Adam. Adam was able to resist. You not. We not. I not. I'm not able to do no sin. It's impossible. I am sin. Did you discover this reality, congregation? We are not only doing sin, we are sin. So every temptation which comes from Satan to our hearts and lives, and we are surrounded with all those temptations, they are connected to our hearts. We like them by nature. Oh, congregation, we are not a murderer because of we killed anyone, but we kill somebody because we are a murderer. And we are not an adulterer because we are committing adultery. No, we are committing adultery because we are an adulterer. Did you discover that in your heart? This reality. So, when you see this reality, how to deal with all the temptations? And Adam has only one temptation. Satan came like a serpent, yes. But we are surrounded by so many other temptations. Every day again, if we are aware of it or not aware of it. And maybe you are not aware of that. But when you read Psalm 91, you can see how the dangers are 24 hours a day around us, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the night. Always. The person who is tempted. And who's the tempter? That is the second question. Oh, congregation, we have seen him, Satan, called the God of this world, the Prince of Darkness. And the Apostle John, he writes in his letter, chapter 5, the whole world lieth in wickedness. It means congregation. The whole world, it's also you. Oh, my dear children, it's also about you. My dear youth, it's also about you. The whole world, it's the Bible teaches us, the whole world lieth in wickedness. It means under the power of the evil one. Isaiah and the Bible, oh congregation, the Bible is so clear and so honest. When Isaiah says that we made an agreement with hell. And maybe you don't believe that. You say, oh pastor, I'm not such a bad man. Do you know who good I am? What am I doing? I'm going to church and I'm praying and maybe I'm a pastor and I'm an elder or whatever. Did you ever believe that you are responsible to make an agreement with hell? So, congregation, the person who tempts, it's Satan, and by nature we serve him. We are in his power. And who is he? The Apostle Peter. And Peter, he knows Satan very well. Oh, he has experienced his power in his life so many times, even after grace. And for that reason, he writes in his letter, chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be how you say it, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Congregation, that's the reality. He is a roaring lion, children. Can you imagine it? When a lion is hungry and he is looking for food and he knows there is food in your house, he will go around your house as long as he finds a weak spot to come in to take the food. And so the lion is so Satan is going around your heart and your life. And he is going around and going around and going around until he finds your weak spot. And he will come in. And he's going on. And he has so much experience with the human spirit that he knows our weaknesses so perfectly. The person who tempts. And then let us in the third place see his temptations. The Lord Jesus, he was tempted in the wilderness. It's a place of danger. We can read it in the gospel according to Mark that the wild animals were around him. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he was alone in the wilderness. And that was a place for temptation. Oh, congregation, so many times when we are alone, we are sensitive for being tempted. When nobody has an eye on me, when I am on my own, loneliness. It was a place in the wilderness. It was a place. He also brought Jesus Christ on the pinnacle of the temple. It was the place of religion. Satan is also tempting people in the midst of his enemy. Oh, the place of where God is living, the temple. But Satan is also coming there to tempt a sinner. And also we can see it in the third temptation of the Lord Jesus. He comes at places where he shows us all the things and all the treasures of the world, the locations, the circumstances. O congregation, I already mentioned it, the circumstances of loneliness. Oh, when we are, and you know it maybe, you know it, I'm sure. How empty you can feel yourself. How boring. What a danger it is. What a danger. What a mighty moment for Satan to come with his whisperings, with his temptation. But also, and that's also what happened when the Lord Jesus was tempted. After 40 days of fasting and praying. And what was praying? Do you remember that, congregation? It was the Lord Jesus was praying because he was seeking for the communion with his Father. And he had the communion, of course. For 40 days. He was praying and fasting, and he lives in the communion with his Father. You can say it was after a spiritual, wonderful experience, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit after his baptism. And then Satan came. And people of God, how many times it's also in your life, after a spiritual, wonderful experience maybe, and you have experienced the reality, the presence of God in your prayers. Oh, when your heart was full of love and full of assurance, full of rest, it's also many times a time that you are not alert. And it can be right after such a very blessed time that Satan comes and he finds you not ready to fight, but you are resting on what you have experienced. Oh, Jesus, he withstood Satan, but how many times a Christian doesn't? For example, children, you can see it in the life of Elijah, the prophet Elijah. Oh, we know this man. Elijah, he was a powerful prophet, yes? And he was alone on the mountain Carmel, not afraid for 400 priests of Baal. And he was full of the Spirit and full of spiritual power. And he was praying, and God, he gives the water. And God did great things, and after that he killed by himself all the priests of Baal. What a power, what a presence of God. And after that, we can read it in the Bible. He ran before the chariot of Ahab until the borders of Israel. And then he was exhausted, and he lay down under a juniper tree. Satan came with his temptations, and he was praying to God. This man of God, it's enough, God. It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life. Do you see, people of God? How right after such great experiences, Satan will be there. When we are bodily weak, when we are hungered, when we are tired, also in the life of Elijah, he was tired. It cost him so much energy, also spiritual. And then Satan comes. O congregation, and how Satan is tempting us. How he is tempting us. Let's go again through the three temptations of the Lord Jesus. What he tried to do with Christ, and what he tried to do with his church. The first temptation, it was to tempt Jesus to make bread from stones. Yes, and do you remember it? What was the problem in that? It was not a problem in itself to make bread out of stones. It's not a problem. It was okay. But it was, and the Satan tried to bring doubt in the heart of Jesus and to not longer rely on his Father, but to listen to Satan. And Satan, we have seen, congregation, he is always lying. Oh, my dear congregation, my dear young people, believe the word of God. Satan, he only likes to destroy your life on earth and for eternity. That's his purpose in everything of his actions. The first temptation of the Lord Jesus, not to rely on God, but doubting God, trusting more on the things, on material things, and this can also be permissible means instead of to rely on God. Oh, congregation, and let us be honest. This is one of the greatest temptations of the Lord Jesus, of Satan in our lives. And how many times we are not aware of all the blessings of God. We are so used to have all our means. And we think we have a right of that, for that. To rely on material things. But also, congregation, there's also a temptation of the Lord Jesus, of Satan, excuse me, to rely on people. What do I mean? Let me give an example. I have experienced it as a pastor, that people ask me, "Pastor, please pray for me." And of course, that's not a bad question. But at that moment, I felt it's wrong. Why? Those people thought, oh, maybe the pastor can change some things with God. Let the pastor pray. Let me rely on a pastor. And how, and maybe it's also in your life, in your spiritual life, that you are relying your assurance of salvation on man. Maybe because your father, he believes that you are a Christian. Or maybe your wife believes that you are a real child of God. Or maybe your grandfather has ever once said to you, "I believe you are a child of God." Or the work of God is in your heart. And to rely on people instead of to rely on Christ, that's the big temptation of Satan. That's what he tried to do with Jesus. And how many times he tries it to do also with us. And in this situation, congregation, and in this first temptation, it's also that great temptation to rely on our experiences. I have spoken it over and over. When we are seeking for assurance of faith, we are trying to count all what we have experienced, all our feelings, instead of by faith rely on Christ alone. Oh, congregation, do you see? That's what Satan likes, to point you to yourself. To rest in everything of yourself. And when we are doing this, we are dishonoring Christ. The second temptation. That Satan tried to attack Christ with the weapons Jesus has used. And Jesus has answered the first temptations in two ways. First of all, with the word of God, and secondly, that God is faithful. And then Satan uses this answer for the second temptation. And then we know, if we have spoken about it, then he is using the text from Psalm 91. But we have seen how he is quoting those texts. Why? What's his purpose, congregation? Trying to confuse my mind. Sowing doubts on the word of God. Sowing doubts on the promises given of God. Sowing doubts on the faithfulness of God. By using the Bible selectively. And that's a great danger. Congregation, that we read only the parts in the Bible we like to read. That we only like to hear about the gospel. And that we only like to hear about Christ. And it looks very true and very biblical. Satan likes to use the Bible. But never the whole Bible. All, and Bible has also another part. It's law and gospel. And the law congregation, the law is discovering your heart. And it opens your life. And it puts you before the judgment seat of God. Also right now. And we don't like it. Oh yes, we say, speak about Jesus. Yes, I would like to preach Jesus. Yes. But I would like to preach Jesus crucified. And what does it mean? Why was Jesus crucified? Why? For such poor and bad sinners as I am. And we are. Isn't it? And so Satan likes to come to people sometimes only with the law. Oh yes. And not with the gospel. And on the other side, only with the gospel and not with the law. It's a great temptation. And he always, there's also a second temptation, he always made the wrong application out of the scripture. Or you can read the Bible and he tried to convince you about his explanation of the Bible. Let me give an example. We can find in the scriptures the words, on thee do I wait all the day. On thee do I wait. And then his explanation of the Bible is to for you, you have to wait. To wait. To wait. And how many people are doing that? Waiting, 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 until. Until. But that's not the meaning of the text. The Bible doesn't say we have to wait for the Lord. We have to wait on the Lord. But that's a big difference. Oh, we have not to wait for the Lord. The Lord is ready. The Lord is present here in the scriptures. Christ is here right now. If a sinner needs Christ, if you need the blood of Christ to wash away all your sin, it's right now here. But when the Bible teaches us, on thee do I wait, it means, oh, to rely on him, to trust him. And Satan likes to give you a life, a spiritual life, a religious life, with all kind of peace and rest, but not to rely on God. Second temptation. And then the third temptation. We know how Satan has showed Christ all the kingdoms of the world. And what is the temptation, congregation? What a great temptation it is. Isn't it? All the riches of the world. Be honest. Let me be honest too. Our hearts are so full of the world to have all the things of the world. Isn't it? Be honest. And there can be difference in our lives. The one likes more of my nice car, and the other one likes maybe more nice clothes, and another one likes maybe my nice books. And you know it, please. And if you don't know, ask the Lord it. What's in your heart? And that's what Satan is always doing. He is showing you all the beauty of the world. And what's the world? That's all what is not of God. That's not the world of God. That's not in the presence of God. That are all the material things can be in itself not wrong. Okay, it can in itself be good. But to show us all the things and to take us busy with that. And oh, my dear people, yes, we have to do all our labors every day. That's true. But how much time we are wasting, isn't it? Oh, congregation, and I say it first of all to myself. How much time I'm wasting. And what is waste time? That's time without the presence of God in my life. That's waste time. And yes, it is true. We can do our labors with God in my heart. And I can enjoy nature with God in my soul. That's right. But how many times, and Satan likes to do it with Jesus, to show him all the riches of the world. And how many times we are serving those two gods. God and the world. But that was the most important point in that third temptation, that Satan likes to bring Jesus on his feet and say, and he said to him, when you kneel down once for me, you will have all the treasures of the world. And we have spoken about it. Yes, Jesus, he would be, and he is still the king of the world. And all the treasures of the world belongs to him, but it only could happen in a way of his suffering and his death. But Satan likes to go away without, do you remember that congregation? Without doing righteousness, without paying the price. And that's maybe one of Satan's greatest temptations also in our lives. That we start talking about God. And that we think, yes, God is merciful because Jesus, he died at a cross for a sinner and I'm a sinner. And yeah. So that's my hope. That's all. And I believe in my own belief. And I trust my own faith. And Satan, he likes that. You can sing about Jesus. You can speak about him, not any problem. As long as you rely on yourself. And if there is no righteousness in your heart, if the righteousness of Christ is never revealed to your soul. When you never as a lost sinner came at his feet. And you lost all your self-righteousness. And you died at his feet. And you found your life outside yourself in Christ himself. And he is your only hope. And he is your only expectation. Although my faith is many times struggling. But it is not my faith. But it is my Savior who is my hope. Who is my expectation. And that's the greatest temptation in the life of a people. Of Christian people. No, I have to say religious people. To think and to speak about God's grace and mercy without the righteousness of Christ. But my dear people, without the righteousness of Christ, we can't stand before God. And then the last question I want to answer this morning. When we have heard all those things, congregation, you can become so discouraged. And I hope you are. When you look to yourself, I really hope you are. I really hope that you have to confess, not to me, oh no, but that you have to confess to the Lord, oh God. I'm the person who is tempted, and I'm not able to do not sin. And oh Lord, the mighty power of him who is the tempter is much, his power is much greater as my power, Lord, to resist. And the ways of temptation, Christ, the Satan is tempting me. Many times I don't see them either. Oh Lord, but how I have to deal with this. How I have to resist Satan. How I can overcome the temptations of Satan. Oh, I'm sure, congregation, that's what the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of a sinner. That you believe that you don't have power. That you believe I have no any power in myself. No power in myself. And then you see, congregation, when we try to answer the question how to resist and overcome temptation, then I can give you all kind of advices. I can say you have not to go to be too long alone. You have to be aware, and I can give all kind of advices. But congregation, I have to go to the center. I have to go to the core. I have to go to the deepest root in your life. And then I have to say, my dear congregation, by nature, you are not able to resist. You are in the power of Satan. Yes, Satan, the devil, is your father, Jesus teaches us in the scripture. That's maybe hard, but that's the truth. And for that reason, you are not different from the men and people in the world who are living in the midst of the sin. And maybe you don't believe it. That's the problem. That's your problem. That you don't believe it. You still think I'm better than all the other people. I'm going to church and I'm a faithful man. But my dear congregation, how to overcome Satan's temptation? Oh, not in my power. Although I can make choices. That's true. I'm responsible for my choices. That's true. But how many times I made my choices to stay away from some kind of sins, to silence my conscience. And by doing this, I'm falling in another temptation. Then I say to myself, oh, I didn't, that sin. So I'm a good man. And then you have the next sin right there. The next temptation right there, isn't it? Yes, maybe you have heard that saying, and I can imagine why it was spoken. Then people said, and I have heard it also from pulpits, that sin you have never do, for sins you didn't, you will not be punished. And I can imagine what it means. But congregation, in the same time, it's a lie. It's a lie. I am sin. I'm sin. That's my reality after Genesis chapter 3, congregation. And yes, although I'm responsible for what I'm doing, that's true. But that's first what I have to answer and to stress on, to answer the question how to overcome temptation in my life. That's to believe that I'm a lost sinner in myself. Otherwise, I can give you all kind of power and advices and give you a lot of work to do. And you will never overcome sin. Oh, congregation, we have to realize we are already condemned, although we are fighting against sin. So that's not a way to resist and to overcome Satan's temptation, my dear congregation. How we can resist? Only in the power of Christ. Only through the blood of Jesus. And that's the only solution. That's the only solution. And that's the reason that it is in the scripture. In Matthew chapter 4, as I started my sermon with, he is doing this as a mediator. And he resisted Satan as a mediator for people who are not able to resist the devil. And so, my dear congregation, you need to be united with Christ to resist sin. To overcome temptation. And out of the union with Christ, you are a lost sinner. Out of the union with Christ, I repeat, you are a lost sinner. And you are a willing instrument in the hands of Satan for all his temptations. But by Christ, by the power of his blood, yes, by the power of his spirit. Romans 1 verse 4, it speaks about the spirit of holiness. And that's the Holy Spirit who fills the heart of Christ. And it was by the power of the Holy Spirit in the heart of Jesus that he was able in his human nature to resist Satan. No, let us make it clear, congregation, again. It was not first of all his divine nature who makes it able to resist Satan. He was a real man. But as a real man, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to resist Satan. How a sinner can resist the devil? Not by his choices, but only by the power of the Spirit of Christ, who is the Spirit of holiness. Only by Christ. And Paul, he writes this in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, by the power of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of holiness, that is the guard. That's the watchman against all the temptations of Satan. And I have already mentioned last Sabbath day the words from Hebrews. For example, Hebrews 2:18-4, in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So congregation, to withstand the temptations of Satan, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. A matter of faith in Christ. Only in a life with Jesus. Only in a life with Jesus. Only in a life in communion with Jesus. I'm in the power of Christ able to resist. And oh, people of God is mourning. Please, seek for the communion with your Savior. That's the most safe place. The more you are dwelling on the heart of Christ in prayer, in meditation, the more in his power and in the power of his blood, you can resist Satan. Because resisting Satan is a hard work. And how Jesus did it, congregation? Two means he was using. First, the word of God. And so in resisting Satan, when we are in Christ, oh my dear people, we need to use the word of God. We need to know the word of God. So a life close to Christ is a life in the scriptures. A life in the word of God. To know answers against all the temptations of Satan. To believe the word of God as the truth. And to see that Satan is always coming with lies. He never is my friend. Although sin is attractive to my heart. But I know it's from him, and he is my enemy. So although it looks attractive to my heart, it's bad. And the more I live with Christ and in his word, I will see it. Oh, maybe you have that experience. Satan, when he comes with his temptations, first he makes sin so small. Oh, he said, why not? It's a little sin. It's not a problem. Oh, when you look in your Bible, you can see that person, he did a sin, and that person did a sin. Oh, it's not a problem. You can do it also. And after when I fell into sin, he comes back. He comes always back. And then he starts to accuse you. And you know, oh, that's not possible. In the life of a Christian, you cannot be a Christian anymore. That's the way of Satan is dealing with God's people. So we know the word of God. We need to use the word of God. And secondly, we need to pray. That was what Jesus did. He was filled with the Spirit. He was in prayer with God. And that was the prayer he taught also to his disciples to pray and lead us not into temptation. It's a prayer. And there's a prayer, oh dear Christians, we have to pray every day. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, because I'm not able in myself to resist. Oh, Jesus, he knows his people. And do you see? That's why he has given us this prayer. A prayer for a Christian. And let us not into temptation. And I know to pray, it's a hard work. Oh, you know, congregation, when you are busy with all kind of things, you have not any problems with Satan. But you can try it. Go on your knees after the service. Go on your knees and try to stay on your knees for 10 minutes. Try to stay on your knees for 10 minutes in praying, and you will experience the reality of Satan right at that moment. And why? Satan knows when a sinner is praying, I will lose this person. I am powerless. And so he tried to keep you away from praying. But go ahead with prayer. Tell everything to your Savior and say, oh Lord, this is just a temptation to my heart to stop praying. And to go with to be busy with my job. But oh my dear Savior, keep me on praying and give me a prayer and grant me thy spirit to pray, Lord, to open my heart and to pray for all my needs and the needs of my children and the needs of the church in praying to resist Satan. That's the way Jesus is teaching us. Oh congregation, a great lesson from this story we have seen. The second Adam. And I hope that you see and that you believe the truth. That in yourself is no any power. Is no power to fight against a little sin. Once I read a sermon from Philpott. And he it's about the prayer of Hezekiah who confessed to the Lord and who has to confess, Lord, I have no power against all those enemies. And then Philpott is explaining all the enemies of the church and of a Christian. And then he makes a comparison. And then he says, and a Christian has an maidservant in his heart, and that maidservant always opens the door for Satan and for sin. That's a maidservant connected to the world. that's the battle, that's the warfare in the heart of a Christian, isn't it? And therefore, my dear people, here is a Savior. Here is Christ Jesus. And he resisted Satan. He withstood him as our mediator. And if you have to confess this morning, I have no power, Lord. He says, given to me is all power in heaven and on earth. For a sinner who has no power in himself. And if you have to confess, oh Lord, I fell many times and maybe also in the past week in so many sins. Yes, I'm responsible for that. But come at his feet, confess your sins. The blood of Christ Jesus is enough to wash away all your sins right now. Oh, he is ready to forgive. He is ready to pardon. He is ready to save. He has the power to save. Oh, this precious, precious, precious Savior is a living Christ. And he is our only hope and our only expectation. And he has bruised the head of Satan. And it is by Christ and it is through Christ. Paul speaks, we are conquerors. Because of Christ, we are conquerors. In Christ Jesus. And that forever. And that's the life of a Christian. Amen. Let's sing together Psalter 80. The third stanza. Since thou my rock and fortress art, my leader be and guide, from all temptations rescue me, thou dost my strength abide. Psalter 80, the third stanza. Let's pray. O Lord, at the end of this service, we come again to thee to thank thee for thy word. O Lord, thou art so honestly to every one of us to show us who we are. And O Lord, may we have discovered this reality that we are weak. And that we are ready to sin against thy love, against thy goodness. Oh Lord, that we don't worry about the fact that we are dishonoring thee, grieving thee. That's me, Lord, that we are. But or may we confess it, Lord, like we have sung together this morning. Though I am weak, God is most high, and on his goodness I rely. On thy goodness, Lord, in Christ Jesus revealed. Oh, we pray, bless thy word, and be with us in the furtherance of this day. Be with us, Lord, when there will be catechism class and Sunday school classes, Lord. We pray for the teachers, remember them and strengthen them. And please bring us all safely back in this afternoon for the second service of this day. We pray for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. 202, the The stanzas 1 and 3 is our closing Psalter, 202, 1 and 3.
Thank you.
Dear people, go in peace and lift up your hearts and receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comfort and the comforting communion, the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.